All right, welcome to the Mondo Coolcast. I am your host, Jerry Terrifying. It's sometime in the year 2016. It's actually St. Patrick's Day as I record this. And I don't conform to societal expectations, so I'm not going to wear any green today. And so here we are. I figured, you know, it's been a long time. I've got two loyal fans, Balzac and Death Adder, that from time to time is like, "Hey, Jerry, where's the next Mondo Coolcast?" And I'm like, you know, it's coming, I'm busy, yeah. So here it is. Today I feel like doing it. But I don't have any show notes, I have nothing prepared. It's just totally spur of the moment. Sitting in my chair and thought, oh, man, I've been aching to do a Mondo Coolcast for a while, so, you know, let's do it. And, so here we are. And, here, okay, so, you know, this is the second recording. Man, it's been so long that since I've talked to people, I don't know how to contain my power level, and, started talking all kinds of shit, but probably not as bad as you think. I just let slip a word, and I don't want to edit out mean words, because mean words on the internet are, they're worse than rape, you know, which is the worst thing that you can have in this universe. Does that tell you how much social justice warrior bullshit I've been watching in this hiatus time? That's just where my stream of consciousness went. I didn't want to say mean words. There's certain things I don't say on the podcast because I don't need to have that committed to MP3 to follow me for the rest of my life. Although, you know, who the fuck cares? No one listens to this shit. Except for Balzac and Death Adder. And you know what? As long as I got two loyal listeners, I will keep making this show, and goddamn definitely. So anyway, this last, I want to say November, I bought a Dodge Durango. Now, for a trillion years, I've been driving a little 5-speed Dodge Neon. Now, the past 2 years, my car got stuck in front of my girlfriend's house because the city she lives in has poor, just the worst goddamn civil engineers, I would imagine, because there's no drainage. Her yard gets swampy. Just big pools of water on the street. So I had parked there 2 winters ago. Not last winter, the winter before it. And, because I think it's technically, is it spring now? Is it spring yet? If it's technically spring, I guess it's 3 winter, whatever, man. Is not this winter, not last winter, the winter before that. I'd parked in front of her house, stayed there for the weekend, and it was like in the 40s, when I got there, and then it got cold. So the pooling water was about 2 inches deep, and my car was stuck in the ice. I got like a bald as fuck tire on the front driver's side, because I'm a big fat fuck driving in a little clown car, so I guess the, like, fucking quarter ton of man meats in the driver's seat just wore the fucking shit out of that tire. And so I got, like, a bald-ass tire, and I'm trying to pull out, but I'm just in, like, 3 inches of ice. And I got, like, three neighbors pushing, I'm pushing, I got my woman in there trying to drive, she's never driven stick before. I'm like, oh, you got, like, she's doing fine. For someone that heard one sentence on how to drive stick, and then for the first time, she did great. And, so I'm trying to, so I was like, oh, this sucks, whatever. And then I let it thaw out, and it took 2 weeks for it to thaw out before I could pull that shit heap out. And trust me, this is relevant to the podcast. I'm going the long way. It's been a long time since I've talked to you guys, so I'm telling you the story. So the next winter, I was coming home from work, and I had to back in to a spot, which if you've listened to, if Balzac knows how much I hate having to back into my regular spots. But I don't bitch too much because this is someone else's house. But I had to back into a spot, and there's about 5 inches of snow on the street. And again, you know, the civil engineer, the planning, that they don't have plows, are too fucking poor. They've snorted all their plow money down their noses having their fucking coke parties at City Hall or whatever the fuck it is they do. And so they don't have a plow fund. See, I live where I've lived The majority of my life is on the school bus line, so my street's like first priority. Gets plowed right away. You know, the snow comes like within hours of the first flake hitting the ground and fucking plowed and salted. So I'm spoiled. I'm used to that. So going to a regular street where they don't do that in a city that is known for poorly managing their street funds. I keep going on tangents. In this town that my girlfriend lives in, I've seen them. I don't know what they fill the potholes with, but it's like this weird fabric. It's like old Slayer t-shirts. And, you know, like, dirty old rags. Like, they don't just fill the potholes with fucking blacktop. It's just weird material. But this year, they've managed to, you know, rustle up some blacktop dollars. But anyway, last winter, driving home, half bag in a spot, 6 inches of snow, get stuck in the middle of the fucking street. So here I am, again, some neighbors come, lovely neighbors, just beautiful fucking people that came out with shovels and helped me. And, this is after, you know, I've shredded both my knees in the past 2 years, so I've, like, I was maybe a year recovered from that, but being a big fat fuck with shredded knees, I've spent more time sitting, so my spine's all weak and girly, and I'm sitting here, like, dying, shoveling the snow for a half an hour, trying to get my foot, like, I had to shovel up into someone's driveway so I could pull out of the street and then shovel the path into where I'm going to back my spot. It's a fucking nightmare. So this year, this November, I bought my nephew's Dodge Durango. Now, this is it's a sports utility vehicle. It's built on a Dodge Dakota frame. I usually say a truck because I don't like saying SUV because when I say SUV, I think unkind things. But this is a big, gnarly 4-wheel drive. I could drive through a, you know, 7-foot deep swamp and go mudding and drive off a fucking mountain. No problems going anywhere in this vehicle. And, not one drop of fucking snow this year. This is the most mild winter I've experienced in my life. Just record-shattering highs. The snow we had, I think the worst snow we had, stuck on the road for like 2 or 3 days. And it was not bad enough to where I had to throw it into 4-wheel drive. So I buy a fucking 4-wheel drive vehicle. I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna, fuck you snow. I'm gonna go driving up mountains and explore. And not even the tiniest drop of snow. And, so I've got this new vehicle now. How this is relevant to the first topic I want to get to is fucking 10 minutes of wind up before I get to the goddamn point. this new vehicle, you know, I'm upgrading from the Neon. The Neon's got a tape deck in it, which is fine because I listen to podcasts in the car, so I got one of those tape adapters, and you know, I plug in my phone or iPod and I jam the fuck out. So this new vehicle has a CD tape deck combo. This is a 98 Dodge Durango. So I'm getting close to a vehicle in the 2000s. It's like 4 years, 3 years, yeah, 3 years newer, I think. It was a 95 Neon. So anyway, it's just a little touch more modern, creeping up on that millennium. And the tape deck don't work. So I've been stuck listening to CDs. So for like 2.5 months, like, I've gone through my CD collection. And the last time I bought a CD was like 2005. And even then, I was like, I'm just buying this to support them financially. Because it's been several years since I've listened to a CD at that point. So these are all things from when I was a teenager. And I had the shittiest taste in music when I was a teenager. So much I was just like, God, what edgy teen angst bullshit. And, some of it's okay, but I'm just like, just embarrassed, you know, got to roll my windows up and listen to the sensible volumes. I don't want the, you know, people in the next car over laughing at me. And, so, just going through the CD catalog, trying to find something worth listening to, and it's just like, it's nothing I want to commit to. When you're committed to, like, 15 songs, you really got to find something that, you can hear multiple times, and because I don't want to drag around my giant CD book and fumble with that shit while I'm driving. That's just not what I'm into. So, with the tape deck busted, you know, I'm paying off the vehicle. I paid it off in December. And now I've got a little bit of money. So, and if you've been listening to the podcast, you know, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to think about it for 2-3 years and then do it. But I'm going to get a CD player and with an auxiliary port so I can, you know, get a 3.5 millimeter cable and listen to fucking podcasts again, because I don't know. So I've just started rolling around with headphones and listening, catching up on podcasts. So this is where I'm getting to. Where are we at? 12 and a half minutes? All right. Finally getting to the point, Jerry. Terrifying. So I was just looking around for new podcasts. I've also been screwing around with Instagram. If you have an Instagram, guess what it is? It's Instagram.com/JerryTerrifying. Go click like on all my pictures. That'll be my next topic. I'm going to make a note for myself. I'll go into a little more detail on Instagram and how that came to be. But so I've been looking around on Instagram, and I found this podcast. It's called Collector's Quest Podcast, and just a few hours ago, last night before I went to bed, I invited myself onto their program. what a fucking tool. So I invited myself onto the program, because this is so nostalgic for me. This podcast, going back to the old school styles, inspired because I'm riled up because of someone else's podcast. These are what I would call a shelf collector. They want complete sets. They want every insert of their, you know, just horrible games that they're spending money on for some reason. And, you know, to each his own. But I see no reason to collect shitty games. I consequentially have a huge video game collection, bigger than average. You know, I've only got like 1,000 games. I'm not one of those doofuses that's, not yet at least, that has like 10,000 games and whatever. But they're all things that I have an interest in playing. And if I hate it, I sell it. If, you know, if I don't want it, I give it away, sell it, do whatever. Get that shit off my shelves. I need space to store things that I care about. So it's a more curated collection of games that I actually like to play. And last night, well, this is probably 2-3 nights ago now, I was listening to one of their podcasts, and they were talking about things they hate when collecting things. And bubble mailers and boxed games getting crushed, which I've never had that experience because I don't buy boxed Nintendo games. I do like to have manuals, and especially from that era, manuals are way more handy, and sometimes you need them to play the game at all. So I can understand getting a manual, but at the same time, I've grown fond of just downloading PDFs of the manual and putting it on my tablet. Good enough for me. It's functional. Functional is what I care about. I care way more about function over form. Form is nice. I like to show off pictures and videos of my collection. But at the end of the day, you know, Lunar is sitting in my Sega CD collection because I want to play it someday. I haven't gotten around to it because I've got a hell of a backlog, but I'm going to play that game. And I'm really interested in it. I'm interested in working designs games. And I want to play that game. That's just the first thing I saw on my shelf that sounded impressive. That's not as impressive as, you know, Silent Hill 2 over here, because it's like a $4 game. I wanted to show off my E-Deck a little bit. And like, yeah, I got Lunar on the Sega CD, guys. I'm no joke here. Take my collection seriously, please. So, I was listening to this, and like, okay, so bubble mailers and crushing cardboard boxes. I'm like, and he made a lot of legit points about that, and like, that's cool. I've never had that predicament because Nintendo and Super Nintendo, N64, I card only. Don't care about that cardboard. Don't have the space for it. Not that interested, like, in the systems. Like, you know, Sega shit I want complete, because I guess it's a huge boner for Sega, but and anything in a jewel case or DVD case or whatever, I want complete. I want to get things that are more commonly complete, but the cardboard shit, Nintendo stuff, it's, I don't know, not worth it. I'll download a PDF of the manual. Carts store better. So that's where I'm coming from. But then, the next thing that he was talking about that got him all riled up was stickers. Stickers on video games. He's like, I hate this, you know, I hate having to put the time into cleaning them, and, you know, I love this hobby, and I love opening up cartridges and replacing batteries. I love opening up systems and just doing these beginner-level projects just to get into it, just to tinker and toil. You know, opening up a Sega Genesis and slamming a Region Switch in there just because, just for shits and giggles. It's fun. I want to do some S-Video mods for all my Sega stuff, because I'm upgrading to S-Video. Here's another note. Trinitron. 32 inches, 220 pounds of basement. Let's see if I can type. Basement shattering terror. Hope, you know, I'm typing these notes on my extra clicky keyboard, because I know how much people love during the podcast when I, like, start hammering shit out. So that's the next topic we're gonna add. Stickers. So I love tinkering with things. I love opening things up. I love fixing the batteries and keeping these games in working condition. And I have removed plenty of stickers. One of my Mondo Cool TV projects is going to someday be an episode about Desert Strike, the Strike series, those helicopter games from the 90s. And I got one of the games on the N64. It was like $4 extra to get a boxed copy. So I was like, okay, for $4 extra. And I managed to get all the stickers off the cardboard without a hitch. The box is in pretty fantastic condition, and the sticker residue's gone. But it's just, he hates putting the time and care into it, and I think it's more about number of games, the pristine quality, and posting Instagram pictures. When I invited myself, like a total tool bag, onto his podcast, I'm the tool bag for inviting myself. I mean, how full of myself can I fucking be? He asked me my Instagram handle, so I guess Instagram's the wave of the future. And, hold on, I gotta send text messages. You're getting all the greatest hits, guys. You're getting all the things you love about the Mondo Coolcast in this episode. Hold on, I'm almost done. And I'm not gonna edit that shit out. I could just tell these people that I'm busy and to give me some time, but I'm not gonna do that. That's not how I roll at the Terradome. So, oh man. I just thought it was odd that he doesn't take, he doesn't find satisfaction in cleaning up. I think there's more satisfaction in, anyone can go on eBay and buy the best looking copy and just spend the money. But I think there's something special about finding a absolutely just fucked copy and breathing life back into it and saving these things from dumpsters and, like my copy of Splatterhouse 2, again, name dropping. I spent $15 on it a couple years ago, and now it's going, I think I saw a topic on Game Facts, which I started looking at the Game Facts forums again, and it's a fucking ghost town, guys. I remember these forums used to be super fast and populated, and just looking at them now, it's just like tumbleweeds just blowing across the screen. It's really sad. So I've been using the GameFAQs forums again and finding conversation there. So someone said that they got one of their Holy Grail games, Splatterhouse 2, and it was like, I think, $60-$70 for a complete cut. Something like this is expensive. I paid $15 for it just a couple years ago, and it was just blasted with rental stickers. And that one, I took it from like an F minus and brought it to a B plus. Like there's one little scratch on the label that had nothing to do with the stickers, but I got the silver stickers that leave the silver void. I got that cleaned off, and they mentioned that in this episode of the podcast that they hate that. They're asking for cleaning tips, and you know, honestly, goo gun, rubbing alcohol, hair dryer, or heat gun. I got all those labels off with off that Nuclear Strike N64 box with just a hair dryer in about 5 minutes of time. And that's pretty cool. I got it sitting up on my, you know, leftover shelf space that isn't full yet, just being a little display piece for the time being. And But I like doing that stuff because I care about reviving this shit. That's not the word I want. I don't know. Make shit look nice. I like that. So then the next, and then he was going on his tirade, and it's like, I can't imagine anyone liking stickers. Now, there's an article on the old MondoCoolCast.com from a couple years ago. It's called The Name Game, because I'm a fucking retard, and it's the best I could come up with. But I've got a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game for the Nintendo that has a sticker on it, and it's one of those, Koopa Troopas from Super Mario World that when you jump on it, they pop out of the shell. It's one of those guys, and then it's got a place for a name, James. And, you know, I bought this at the local used game store that shall remain nameless. And I wonder, like, is this the kid James I knew in elementary school? Who was it? Did he sell it to get other games? Did his mom sell it? What was its life? What was its journey like from being on a store shelf, bringing joy to the heart of some child, and then ending up in my sweaty, filthy, dingy dungeon of dank despair, dank disparity. What was its journey? I have a copy of Asteroids on the Atari where someone just took a regular-ass blue ink pen and wrote Nicole on it. Who's she? What's she doing? Is she still alive? She, like, that's an Atari game. She might be in her 40s or 50s. She got, like, a whole bunch of kids. Do they play video games? Is her son James? Did he have Ninja Turtles? I wonder about the history of these. And I do like rental stickers. Now, I don't like it when they put them on the label of the game. That can be annoying. But sometimes, yeah, I really don't give a shit. It depends on how interesting the sticker is. But there's a certain history of video games, and rentals were such a big piece of the landscape in the 80s and 90s, and they shaped and defined video games to a bigger degree than most people realize. Nintendo trying to take down Blockbuster so that they could get maximum profits. Video games being made more difficult for the American market, where it was legal to rent, versus their Japanese counterparts, where renting was made illegal, and so the games are easier. The easiest example of that is Ninja Gaiden, or Ninja Ryukenden on the Famicom. They made it harder in America, and that was to dissuade rentals, so you couldn't beat it in a weekend, so that, you know, you either keep renting it and it costs you more than just buying the damn game before you're able to beat it, or you just buy the game. So that was the thinking. And I think that's an interesting piece of history. And now that Netflix has just devastated the brick-and-mortar rental store, it's been years since I've seen a Blockbuster. The only video stores that I see commonly are Family Videos. That's the last one I see those all over the place. And usually they're near an apartment complex. They're usually in a skeezy part of town. And then you got Redbox. And that's about it for physical locations to go and rent a DVD that I can think of, at least in my area. But I remember Diamond Video in their sketchy back room. And just all these mom-and-pop rental stores. My dad knew a guy that had a video rental store. And that's where we got our copy of Moon Patrol. And it was so renters could watch it and see if that's something they want on the shelf. So, like, every, like, 10 minutes, it pops up, not for distribution, resale, or blah, blah, blah. This is a preview copy, and, fucking love that movie. And I don't know if it's Moon Patrol. It's the one with Chekhov and Bruce Campbell, and they go to the moon, and the robots start killing everybody and using their parts, and badass film. I'll have to look up the title, and I'll put it in the show notes, but I probably won't. So it's got the Chekhov from Star Trek and Bruce Campbell. If you can't find it, it might just be called Moon. I don't know. I forget. I love that film. It was on Netflix. Anyway, so depending on how interesting the rental sticker is, I think that it's cool to keep that piece of history around. And as someone that plays video games, I can appreciate a rental, because I have those memories of renting games. and going out and just making decisions based on cover art, and enjoying my weekend with the neighbor kid. You know, we would go to Blockbuster and his mom, Penny, would rent games, and we'd play the shit out of them over the weekend. And rental games are like the real workhorses of video games. Like, they brought that joy and entertainment to people like no other game. You know, James's copy of Ninja Turtles, he bought it, he played it, I bet his brother or sister dicked around with it, and then they sold it, and then now it sits on my shelf. Those former rental games, how many tens or hundreds of people enjoyed those games? When you think about rental game, or not rental games, when you think about review scores, back when we had, when renting was more popular, mediocre 5 to 10, 7 out of 10 games, they had a chance to shine there. You didn't have to commit to it. You could spend the $3, get a weekend's worth of enjoyment, and then send it on its merry way. And that's important. And I think preserving that legacy, not necessarily preserving the legacy, that's more grand than it is, but just, I like keeping that stuff as a remembrance. But I do like seeing that my games have been played and enjoyed. I've got a copy of Ghost House on the Sega Master System, and on the back of those Master System games that came on the little cards, you know, that are like a Hue card on the TurboGrafx, the little card games, on the back of them, they have a place for you to write your name. And I think that's cool. I would have liked to seen more games have built-in label space on the back to put names on it. And, you know, Jeff W., I'm not going to throw out his full name. In the back of the manual for Ghost House, it's got a score book. On the back of the manual, he made his own little scorekeeping thing for Hang On. So somewhere in the world, this kid Jeff was playing Sega games, getting high scores, and I think that's awesome that somewhere in the universe, some fat neckbeard retard has held on to that. Now, clearly Jeff, or perhaps Jeff's mom or wife or whoever, liberated that game from Jeff and put it for sale on the old eBays, whether it was him or someone else or circumstances. Just know, Jeff W., that your 1989 Ghost House scores are safe with me, and I appreciate them. I appreciate that history of that video game, knowing that someone did sit down and play it many times and enjoyed it. And that brings more enjoyment to me. I appreciate that. I like to see games being played. And so I can appreciate some rental stickers. I don't like when they destroy the label. I prefer they put shit on the back. But, you know, seeing the names of some of these old video game places. I have a Nintendo game. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, or I'd pull it off the shelf. But it's like Captain Ron's Rentals. And I like seeing goofy shit like that. But these stores are all but dead and forgotten. And no one's holding a candlelight vigil. You know, tell you the truth, I like thumbing through Netflix a hell of a lot more than digging out a DVD. So I invited myself, and he wrote back and was like, yeah, I'll give you 10 minutes to sell your case. And so I'm going to do that. It's probably just going to be a copy-paste of what I just now said, but that's where I'm coming from. And maybe it's a difference of opinion. Maybe it's because they're shelf collectors and just like cool pictures and occupying space. But I like to see a game being played and appreciated. And no game is more played and more appreciated than the rental. So I think rental stickers are interesting. They were a bigger part of video game history than most people know. And, you know, I hate to see that completely forgotten. But maybe that's just me. I'm weird. I like weird things. And, alright, send more text messages. You gotta stay on top of that shit. So let's move on to the next topic. I mentioned Game Facts and my Instagram account. I was looking at the classic game board, classic video games message board on Game Facts, I think, and someone was saying that they hate seeing shelf collectors. They post games, they post themselves holding games, but you never see gameplay, you never see a game running, you never see, like, you see that these people are collecting. And I mentioned prices a little while ago, and I think it is this hipsterism. I think it's this cult that e-celebrities and YouTubers, and I myself am a part of this to some degree, you know, how big of a part did I play in Saturn Bomberman going from 30, 40 bucks to 250 with all my Netlink and singing the praises of Bomberman, Saturn Bomberman videos? How culpable am I for that shit? And I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep making my show. I'm going to keep making my podcast. But we have this finite amount of supply, and the demand just keeps increasing. And then you get these hipsters are like, you know, me too. And so they get these like 10,000 followers on their Instagrams and whatnot, and just showing off cool stuff, but never really playing the games. So that's what this guy was talking about. It's like, you know what, I'm going to start an Instagram account, and I'm going to show myself playing video games. Now, not every picture on my Instagram is of a game being played. The first picture is my 32-inch Trinitron. I'll get to that next. And I'm on, I don't know what level this is of Diablo, but I'm more than a third of the way into Diablo on the PS1. I've been playing through that with my girlfriend. We're on, like, level 8 now. When you start getting to, like, the Hell Caverns and, like, magic beasts shooting lightning out of their dick and just obliterating us. My wizard, this time I'm playing the wizard. First time I played as the rogue. My girlfriend makes fun of me when I play as female characters, but goddammit, I like the bow and arrow. Like, I did not like the warrior. I tried him first. Hated it. Loved the rogue. Played through the game. Beat it. On the PS1. And those fucking load times. Let me tell you about those load times. They're long. So me and her are playing through it co-op, and it's a lot of fun having some couch co-op. And, so that's the first picture on my Instagram. I got a picture of Toad Jam and Earl 2 being played. I'm on level 7, about halfway through that game. And that's part of a Mondo Cool TV project. I'm still doing the research. That one, I'm just sort of plodding along, but I'm getting there. Once I get done with the research, and I've got plenty of script written, but I got plenty of mortar. I got some gameplay of Dragon Warrior. I played and beat Dragon Warrior at work. I got $10 fucking dollars an hour to play Dragon Warrior 1. That makes grinding a hell of a lot more fun when you know you're earning some cheddar biscuits out of it. I probably shouldn't have said how much I get an hour, because I'm kind of embarrassed of how filthy and poor I am, but like I said, I'm not editing it. I'm already this far into the episode, so fuck, Balzac, now you know how much of a poor degenerate I am. For my birthday, I bought myself a pair of Twin Sticks for Virtual On. And Wipeout Guy, you are correct, it's better and easier to play with a control pad, with just a regular Saturn controller. But it looks sweet, and it was boxed, and I wanted to buy something. I wanted to waste some money. So I dropped $90 on a boxed pair of Twin Sticks. But I've got a picture of me playing the game with the arcade sticks. I got a picture of the final boss in House of the Dead. And then the rest of it's just other, oh wait, I got some Super Bomberman gameplay. Then, you know, I got some Bomberman pictures shit. I don't know, it's cool. So I got this Instagram, and I take pictures of cool stuff, and then I'm trying to also periodically sprinkle in some actual shots of me playing a game, which I think is important. Because you don't see a lot of that. Deadpool is playing at the drive-in. I love going to the drive-in. It's a text conversation I'm having with my woman. So I started an Instagram because someone, you know, was, oh wait, I've also got a picture of me beating Dragon Quest, for the Game Boy, and I'm well into Dragon Quest 2. That's what I'm playing right now at the moment, actually. I had to print myself a map. I got really far into the game, but now that I'm sailing and shit, I am just absolutely lost. So I printed myself a map, and before I go to work tonight, I'm going to label some shit on the map, because the printout I have is shitty. Ran out of color ink halfway through, so like the top sixth of it is in full color, and the rest of it's black and white. It's, I don't know, but I'm going to draw some labels and towns, because I need to navigate to this one place based on what an NPC said, and I needed a map. Anyway, that's what I've been playing lately, Dragon Warrior 1 and 2 on the old Game Boy. I've been playing it on an EverDrive. Fucking love it. You know, as game prices go up, I'm thinking of just getting a bunch of EverDrives, because again, I value playing. I do appreciate playing on real hardware, playing on a CRT. I think it looks better. I appreciate the response time. When I was working on the season finale episode of Mondo Cool TV, I had been playing it at my woman's house on an HD TV, and I was just getting my shit shredded playing against one of the boss characters. And then I came home and played it on a CRT, and I, like, whooped his ass on the first try. And I think just, like, the few frames of input lag was what was fucking me. So I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go full hog with the CRT shit. So I got myself the Cadillac of CRTs. I guess I'm just smoothly transitioning into this topic. Go to Instagram.com/JerryTerrifying. Give me a follow. Like my shit if you have an Instagram. If not, go look at my pictures anyway. I think there's some really cool pictures. yeah, so I've been appreciating the CRT. So I got myself the Cadillac, just the pinnacle of CRTs, and I got myself a Trinitron. This is a 1995 Trinitron. It's, you know, not the flat screen CRT where it's, you know, the screen is curved. It supports S video. So I'm going to upgrade everything to S video. You know, I look at these other YouTube channels like My Life in Gaming where they have the upscalers and the shit looks crisp, but, you know, there is input lag, whether they feel it or not, and whether it's a few milliseconds. I would rather, I like the look of the CRT, I love light gun games, so I got myself a 32-inch Trinitron, cost me 10 American United States dollary dues in about 2.5 hour drive into fucking Indiana. So me and my woman, we packed up and we went and got this TV, and the guy helped me wrestle it into the back of my woman's car. And, son of a bitch is heavy. Now, looking at the internets, it's either 200 or 220 pounds, for this size Trinitron. And, I didn't feel like finding the model number and finding out exactly which one it is, but I'm gonna lean towards it's the 221s. This bastard was heavy. So, I brought over a dolly, and I was gonna wrestle this thing into my woman's basement. So I put a blanket around the screen, and to keep it from getting scratched up, put it on the dolly, tied it on some rope that I found in the back of my Durango. And now, the way her basement's lined up, you go out into the garage, and then there's a door to the basement. So you go through the door, and then you turn to the left and go down the basement. So the basement door doesn't just go straight down the stairs. You have to go in, turn left, and then go down. So, I had her go downstairs first, and then me standing in the garage with one arm tried to get, I shimmied the dolly with the TV tied to it into that top of the stair area and in the correct position, and then using one arm had to get it down that first step before I could step behind it because there's a wall, you know, there. And, I had her there, like, you know, hold on to it, make sure it doesn't go flying if I lose it, you know, just push it back towards me, if it feels like I'm losing it. But I managed, and, I didn't go down that first step as smoothly as I had liked. There was a little bit of a thud, but everything, it was fine. But I pulled a groin muscle, and then driving for the next 2 days, like holding my leg up to use the gas pedal, was like that exact groin muscle that I annihilated. And it was a fucking nightmare. But after that first step and I could get behind the dolly, I eased it down, and it's in the basement forever. It's going with the house. My brother's moving to South Carolina. He has a 32-inch Wega, which is, it's a flat screen. It doesn't have the curve. It's not a flat panel. You know, a lot of people forget this jargon from 10 years ago. But it's a real fucking nice TV. Beautiful picture. I'd love to get it. And I've contemplated recruiting some help from my goon squad to go and retrieve it. But he's moving, and it's staying with the house. Because that was one of the hardest moves I ever had. But his basement is a lot more forgiving. The door at the top of the stairs, it's straight. So we could just go straight in. And that was a little bit easier. Hold on. Next weekend, Deadpool's going to be at the drive-in movie theater. I like the drive-in movie theater. It's nostalgic. It's a unique piece of American culture. I have opined about this before. So I got this TV down there, and that's why I want to upgrade my Sega Genesis to S-Video, because this TV supports S-Video. RGB would be nice, but eh. S-Video looks phenomenal on a CRT, and so that was one of the hardest fucking things to do. That was just a groin-annihilating experience, but I did it. And let's see, what else did I have on my show notes? Yeah, I think that's everything that popped to mind while I was starting this process. Let's check the time. 43 minutes or about. So that's pretty good for an off the cuff Mondo Coolcast, right? Another thing that spawned my interest in recording this is I was checking out Critical Failure's video. I have a package that I was going to send them last year, but I'm a lazy piece of shit, so I never did it. And I've mentioned it to my girlfriend. I'm going to move it to my girlfriend's house, and she'll hopefully not let me forget to get that shipped out. And I found something at the garage sales for like 50 cents, and it's nothing that cool, but I think he will appreciate it. I thought of him when I saw it. I thought this might be something neat for his shelves. And if not, it's 50 cents. You can throw it away, Alex. I don't give a shit. I do give a shit. I want you to keep it. I want you to treasure it, because it's something I saw and I thought, oh yeah, my internet friend would love this. So, what else we got? Need to get the package out. I'm going to guest appear. Like, I didn't mention that I host my own podcast. And, you know, as things are, I probably have a bigger listener base. I don't know, though. There's no way to compare these numbers. But, you know, even when I go on year-long hiatuses, I get, like, at least 150 downloads on this thing. So we'll see where how this stacks up. Oh! I remember the reason why there's a huge hiatus. The second-to-last episode, the one with Dave Crossan, one of the original hosts of Classic Game Room. I wanted to return to the interview format. I liked that, and I wanted to start networking with people again and collaborating on things, just talking to people about games and stuff and being a little more social. So the first person I wanted to get on was Dave Crossan, and then Justin's like, hey, I got Dave to agree to be on the podcast. Let's do a double interview. And I don't like the dynamic of... I feel like I'm either getting in the way or, you know, it just, I don't know, it doesn't feel right. It was a good episode, and I had a nice conversation with them, but he got one of the two people I wanted to attempt contacting first. Now, the other person was Bithead1000. Now, Bithead1000, let me tell you right now, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast. I've mentioned it on YouTube videos, and I know Death Adder's checked out, subscribed, loves that channel. Bithead1000 hosts the greatest video game program in the history of human civilization, hands fucking down. Bithead's channel is why I love YouTube. And it's been so long since I've found a channel like that, that is someone speaking from the heart, you know? Passion about video games. And I recommend watching from video one, because he starts a video game channel with no video games. And there's an interesting story that you get in that video that I don't want to repeat here, because I urge you to go and watch it. And watching the progression and the ideas and the things he's built, just hands down the greatest video game channel ever. And that was the other one I wanted to get. And I wanted to do a solo interview with him, because I like that dynamic. And I sent a message to Bithead1000, and he's like, yeah, sounds great. Would love to. And then he went on a hiatus. Now, having watched his channel from beginning to end, he's gone on a few hiatuses where he just disappears for a few months. Yeah, you know, people have life, they go and do things, but then he comes back. Now, this was spring of last year when this was going down. And I was really excited that he agreed to be on the show. And then he disappeared. And then no garage sale videos at all last year. And he is the man that taught me how to garage sale effectively. And he's the reason why I got a big box of shit that I paid like $7 for. Got like a million fucking things, paid $7. Those numbers may not add up. If you go back and watch my Vag videos, you'll see what I'm talking about. So with my original plan being thwarted, I just kind of, you know, I don't know, just didn't really think about the podcast. Like, if it wasn't going to be the episode that I wanted it to be, I wasn't going to do it. I was going to hold out. And Bithead has returned to the internet. In the past, I want to say 4 weeks, maybe, he has been releasing videos on Wednesdays, like the old days, pretty consistently. Now, two of them have been like clip show things, and but hey, I'll take it, because this is a highly entertaining individual. And so last night before bed, I shot him a PM, and this will be the last time I reach out. He had a kid. When he came back, his first video was, "Hey, I've been gone, it's because of this." And he's got a baby. And he's like, "This is why." And it's like, "Oh, that makes a lot of sense." And so I shot out another private message. It's like, "Hey, I invited you." You're like, "Yeah, what's up?" And it's like, "But this is the last time I'll bring it up, because I don't want to just fucking harass the man." Like, "Please be on my fucking podcast, please, you're my internet hero, please." I don't want to be that fucking degenerate. So, that was one of the reasons why such a long time has passed. And I do want to go back to the interview format. And there's a couple other people that I'm thinking about reaching out to do some episodes with. The Game Hunters or something like that, you know. There's so many people that have a combination of Game and Hunter in their YouTube handle. But it's this guy and his sister, and they're pretty cool. I comment on their stuff and like on their Instagrams, and he likes my Instagram pictures, and so I might invite that dude on. And then the other big thing is I've been working on Mondo Cool TV. I have the first episode completed. I just need to render it, put it on a thumb drive, and go just have it put on TV. This week, actually, I've got the $50 bill in my hand. I'm going to go and join up, and I'm going to get the first episode out. I have enough content for 3 episodes, honestly, completely done and like matched up for time. So I think I'm going to give up on the have the entire season done, because it's way more work than I anticipated it being. Also, January, December, the end of December, and for like 2.5 months, my woman was having medical issues, so that is why the show didn't launch in January. Not just that, because halfway through December, there's a lot of Christmas shit, and I had to help her out with a bunch of things. She's getting all stressed, and yeah. And so the show didn't make the January premiere like I wanted it to. The plan was, I've got about 4 of the main segments 100% done, ready to go in the can. I've got several of the side segments done in the can, ready to go. And I just need to film some host segments. So for episodes 2 and 3, I just need to film host segments and then put them together. So we're going to get at least a couple episodes of Mondo Cool TV on television this year. I'm going to say it again before the end of this month, which, you know, January came and gone, February came and gone. I'm not supposed to have the show on the air those months, but I'm going to have an episode of Mondo Cool TV out. Now, the first episode has a segment about House of the Dead that I made in like 2013, and it sucks. I've gone back and fixed things, but it's not as good as every other episode after that. And a few weeks ago, I found an interview that I would have killed for 2 years ago. I scoured the internet for information on the first House of the Dead, any interview, any information, there's so little. And the games aren't plot intensive, so there's not a lot to talk about. So there's not a lot of behind the scenes, and I probably should have just given up. But again, like the Bidhead episode, I wanted my first episode to be about House of the Dead, goddammit, and I'm going to do what it takes. So I've done more research. I found out things about House of the Dead 3. I think I just legitimately stuttered. House of the Dead 3, I've discovered things. My script for House of the Dead 1, that segment, has doubled after finding this interview. Lots of shit, lots of light was shed on it. So I'm going to release this episode as is. Now pay attention, Balzac. And I'm going to redo with all new footage. I have better capture card footage, or better capture card technology now. And so I can redo the episode and make it a lot better. I have better research, better script, better information, better video capturing technologies, and I'm just going to make a better thing. And I've got video footage of me playing some of the actual machines. I have footage of me playing the arcade cab of 1, 2, and 4. I'd like to find the arcade cab of 3 somewhere out there in the world. And, and I'd like to add that to the video. So, what I'm going to do is, my plan is, I'm going to, redo that episode in the future, and then I'm quietly going to replace it. So, Balzac, pay attention. If you're interested, you better download the first episode of Mondo Cool TV, because once I get off my ass and do the better version, the updated version, I'm just going to quietly remove that from the DATV lineup rotation. I'm just going to hide that episode on the website and YouTube and stuff. I'm not going to fully take it down. So, I mean, either save a link or download it. I'm telling Balzac, you're the Jerry Terrifying Historian. Pay attention. Don't slip on this, because I want you to be the guy that says, oh, you like this version? Well, watch this shitty version. The premiere episode is fucking garbage. Here it is, guys. So pay attention, Balzac. I need you to do that for me. And, hold on. Got to send more text messages. And, let's see, I think I had another topic I wanted to touch on, but it's escaping me. So Mondo Cool TV is, I'm scared. I'm absolutely terrified to have it on television. I've done segments with local business owners. I've done segments, and I want to do collaborations with them. This one guy at a comic book store, he was so gung-ho. He's like, yeah, man, if you want to, like, review anything in the store, just let me know. We'll make videos and collaborate and blah, 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 blah. I was like, damn, that's cool. It's like, yeah, if you want to put a poster up, you know, have your business card. Like, so accommodating. And I think he gets it. I think he gets the networking. And it's like, even if one retard watches my show and walks in his store, it cost him nothing except for a few minutes of his time. And I think he gets it. The other guy was a little more apprehensive. I asked him, I was like, can I review things? He's like, oh, what do you mean? He's like, you know, like, take a game for a week, play it, put a review, and say this review is brought to you by Butthole Games. He's like, I can't wait. He's in the premiere episode of the TV show. He's a nice guy, but he seemed a little apprehensive about that, and he's a bit of a character. So I can't wait for you guys to see that premiere episode. Another thing, I went through all this effort, got all these studio lights, I did green screen. My second attempt, it looks pretty good. It's what I'm using in the finalized episode, but I have no shit. I just, like, made it a black background. I could have just gotten some black curtains and called it a fucking day. But I couldn't find anything cool to use as the green screen footage. So if you have any recommendations, I might just keep doing it as is. I might just go get a fucking black curtain. Because that might help the lighting, and I don't know. So, I'm recording this before work. I gotta go throw some laundry in the dryer, do some real life shit. I gotta go to my shithole job tonight. Gotta get a move on my day. And that's part of the reason. I got a girlfriend, It's pretty serious. It's been a few years. I got a job. I'm driving here. I'm driving there. I'm helping this person. I'm helping that person. Friends are, like, begging to see me. I'm trying to plan these trips. It's just, time is at a premium. So that's, so all of these things is, what's been happening to the Mondo Coolcast. I may do more solo things plus interviews. I like that format of the show. I miss it. I like that collaboration. There's a few people, maybe some of these local businesses, maybe I'll talk to them about being on the podcast. I don't know. I want to do more interviews. I like interviews. They're fun. I like this. I like just sitting here, not having to coordinate 17 people on Skype. I do like how Mecha Menace makes show notes. That makes my life so much easier. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll talk to him about that. Maybe I'll get Justin Shintai, Mecha, maybe Kaiser. I'll get some other voices on here eventually or soon or something. But, I was watching, I was catching up on some Critical Failure videos. I think I started to say this and then drifted off into whatever retard shit I drifted off into. But, I think I mentioned this. Critical Failure, I was catching up some videos of his. And there's one where he gave me a shout-out that I just saw, and this is back in, like, late 2015. So I'm going to play some audio from that, and then, just because I thought it was nice, and I just wanted to throw that in here, just because, I'm going to throw that audio in here. And then I'm going to play some music, don't know what, but, yeah, so that's what I'm doing. So let's kick it over to that sweet, sweet praise of Jerry Terrifying, because it stroked my ego just right. So I need to share that with the people that also choose to listen to things about me. So let's get Alex to preach to the choir.
And then we move on to Jerry Terrifying. Jerry Terrifying is one of the most knowledgeable people I have ever had the chance to talk to about video games. This guy knows a lots of stuff. He had been absent from YouTube for a long time because he suffered a computer meltdown, for one thing, and also he had been busy with a television project. Just kind of made his triumphant return to YouTube, and so while he's here, I've just been enjoying the hell out of the videos that he made. So check out Jerry Terrifying's channel.
And thank you for that lofty praise, Alex. I do appreciate it. I don't even know why I felt the need to share that, but I did. Thought it was neat. And there it was. So let's go ahead and end this episode of the Mondo Coolcast. I decided on some Bomberman music because I had plenty readily available. I use it in my videos all the time. And I'm being a lazy turd today. So let's have some Bomberman jams. Play us out.